He had to help me up because I exercised a little too much this week and I'm severely in pain. So thank you. I just want to take a moment right now and ask Danette and Sue and Miss Paula if they can stand up. I want to make sure that all of our leaders for Pathfinders and the parents that have made this happen, if you could join us and stand up. You guys, these people have dedicated so much time taking these kids on camping trips, taking them to fairs. They have taken them into their own hands, and we just want to give them a round of applause of thanks for what they do. Thank you guys so much for making time to invest and to pour into our kids. Also just want to say happy Mother's Day. I'm so grateful that I have a mom that I can say that to. And when she gets back from her trip, I'll say that to her tomorrow. But happy Mother's Day to you guys. And it's because of moms that we are who we are. So thank you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our God and our Father, we just thank you for this church. We thank you for the opportunity to see that kids just want to serve you. We thank you for the fact that they have taught us something today. And God, as we continue on, may we remember to be a blessing to the people around us. In your name I pray, amen. It is something to accept a gift when you know that you don't deserve it, isn't it? To know that you've really messed things up, and yet someone still loves you. I was asked to read from the book of Jeremiah, and that verse that we all know, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. And so I will read that to you, and then I will read it to you in the context in which it was written. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I was reading the book of Jeremiah so that I could get the context of why these words would be written in this book, in this particular chapter. And as I was reading, I realized that Jeremiah had been prophesying that because these people who were God's people have turned their hearts away from God, God was sending them into exile. And he was telling them things that they didn't want to hear. They would be taken out of a land that was promised to them, and they would be transported to another foreign land. You see, it had gotten so bad that they began sacrificing their firstborn sons to the god Baal. Their children were no longer of value to them. And God thought it was so disgusting that he said, "I will take this cycle of relying on someone other than God, and I will break it by taking you out of the land in which you dwell and bringing you somewhere where you have no grounding. And only when you are taken out of a place in which you are comfortable and put in a place in which you are uncomfortable will you then return to me." All this time, Jeremiah was prophesying that for 70 years they would be taken into Babylon. Another prophet came up and said, "Oh, you will be taken in captive, but after 2 years you'll return." And Jeremiah says, "Amen, let it be so. I hope that what you say is right." But he knew better. Because you see, he had an intimate relationship with God. He had spent so much time in prayer, so much time in studying God's word, so much time just listening to what God had to say, being in the places where God would put him so that even by the hand of a potter, he could see that God had something to say to him. I can imagine him being a person that everywhere he walked, he looked for just one instance in where he could see God. Have you guys ever done that before? Just walked through school, or walked through your work, or walked through the family hallways just so you could find a glimpse of Jesus. This was the kind of man that Jeremiah was. But then finally, when these people were taken into exile, and out of the depression, and out of the sadness, and the feeling of hopelessness, the feeling like things aren't going to get any better, he writes this letter. Now, I know we've all had those moments where people have let us down, where our parents are letting us down, where our families are falling apart, where our relationships aren't right where we wanted them to be, where our kids aren't trusting us the way we wanted them to, where our grandkids are messing up and we wish that we could tell them something to give them words of encouragement. There is situations in our lives where we feel as if God has abandoned us. And we wonder, can God even hear our prayer? But in the midst of the doubt, Jeremiah writes these words to the exiles. Jeremiah 29, chapter 29, verse 4 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare." It's kind of atrocious when God puts something in your face and says, as my people, I want you to not only be blessed, I want you to bless other people despite your circumstances. I want you to bless other people no matter what is going on in your life, no matter how people treat you, no matter how people are talking about you. I want you to bless them because it is in your prayers and it is in their welfare that your welfare will become possible. It is because despite the things that are going on in your life, when you bring other people to the throne room of God, when you are praying on their behalf, something happens. Because the situation now is out of our control, because the situation is now something that we cannot change, and we know that there is nothing more that we can do. But when we place those situations in the hand of God, something happens. And God is calling these people to be faithful despite the fact that they feel that God has left them behind, that God has abandoned them. And despite those things, God said, it is in someone else's welfare other than your own that you will find your blessing. And it's a hard thing when depression comes over you. It's hard to think of anyone other than yourself, how you feel, how you're affected. And it is in the utter darkness of their situation that God says it's not just about you. Verse 8 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you." Talking about that prophecy that was after 2 years, if you would if you would, after 2 years, come back. And he says, don't be deceived by that. Don't wait for that to happen. Get comfortable. You're going to be there for a while. Do not listen to the dreams they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. God says, I know the plans I have for you, not I know the plans I have for you singular. I know the plans I have for you plural as a community because it's not about you. I know the plans I have for you in that if you are there in the city of Babylon, you will bless people that have not encountered me. It is because of you that I know the plans I have for you, and they may not be the plans that you have for yourself, and they may not be the plans that you want to hear that I have for you, but despite the fact that you don't like your situation, despite the fact that you may not get along with everybody around you, despite the fact that the situation isn't where you'd want it to be, God says, I know the plans I have for you, so stop complaining. I know the plans I have for you, so get to work and trust that despite whatever's going on, I will be faithful. It says in verse 12, then, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you hope in a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. Seems to me that the Christian life isn't about getting what we want. But despite the fact that life doesn't churn out how we want it to, if we remain faithful to God, it is in that faithfulness God has something to say. And when we realize that God is doing something despite our desires, despite our own plans, being trampled upon. And when we realize that, then we will come into a deeper relationship with God. For God says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. How can you hear someone that doesn't talk to you? How can you hear someone who does not open their mouth, who does not call you? I don't know where you are in your relationship with God. I don't know where you're coming from, and I don't know where you've been. But I do know that if we do not open our mouths and speak to God, if we do not quiet ourselves and listen to what God has to say to us, we will never see what He has in store for us. If we spend the rest of our lives complaining to God about how we didn't get what we wanted, then we will never appreciate what's already been given to us. If we spend the rest of our lives telling God He's not there because God doesn't think like us, then we will never experience how much bigger than us God is. Verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So that means I have to give up everything. Everything I've ever wanted. It has to come second. Because if God doesn't want it for me, and I'm fighting God on it, and God isn't giving it to me, that means I have to let it go. Because God doesn't want a piece of my heart, He wants all of it. Where do you spend your time? With who? If it's not Jesus first, then you're doing it wrong. If you aren't seeking God out and you're seeking something else instead, you're doing it wrong. If all you do is complain about how it's not right, you're doing it wrong. Because it's not about you. It's about so much more. It's about a bigger God who has bigger plans than your life. And so, despite our circumstances, we are commanded to seek God out, to bless those who curse us, and to love those that hate us. Then, and only then, can we say that we are a follower of the Christ. Then, and only then, when we stop snickering at people behind their backs, when we stop getting upset at people and never speaking to them about it, but only finding other people to speak to them about. It's okay, you know, to kind of vent it out so you don't kill the person when you tell them. But for goodness sake, let us remember that if we are not able to make ourselves right with other people, we are not acting in the way that God commands us to. God says, "I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Look, we don't do these things so that I can have a big house. If I am impoverished and have God in my heart, I am in a better place than someone who doesn't have God and has everything money can buy. And maybe I won't get my fortune in money, but I will get it in my soul. And it is my soul that blesses those around me. Because I am not home here. In this place, in this world, we are in exile. Plant gardens, build a home, have children and grandchildren, give your children away in marriage, find them spouses. But remember, we're just waiting to go home. And Jesus came and said, just in case the wait is too long, I'm going to remind you and give you a taste of what it's like. And in case you forgot the rules of how we run heaven, I want to share with you how it works. Jesus said, in all the laws and all the prophets, they cling on these two laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you can do those two things, you are keeping the commandments of God. If you can do those two things, it just umbrellas everything God had ever tried to teach us. But it's one thing to say, isn't it? It's another thing to actually make a reality in my own life. Because then we have to think about the people we don't care too much for, the people we think don't care too much about us, and forget about it. And sometimes that pain is a little hard to forgive. But God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, not you singular, but you plural. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. But it's not just you that are getting the hope. It is because you know this hope, and because your life is a bigger testimony than your words, that God's plan is being fulfilled in this world. So let me challenge you today. Let me challenge you, our pathfinders, that as we live our lives, let's live them in such a way that we believe that God is going to use us. No matter how young you are, you can change someone's life. No matter how young someone says that you are, no matter how incapable, don't listen to us, we're crazy. Because it is children that can transcend the hearts of any adult. You can say things to people that other adults wouldn't even dare say to themselves, and they will listen to you because you're kids. And God will use you, and God will speak through you, and God needs you. So thank you to those of us who invest in our Pathfinder program. That's just a piece of what we do for the children here in this church. To Mrs. Pick and all the hours she spends making sure that our leaders are poured into so they can pour into our children, to our Sabbath school leaders, to everybody who loves on our kids. May we remember that the blessings of our soul only come when we give all of who we are to Jesus, who gave everything for us. Amen.